After I was ordained a priest by Bishop Vlasny at the Cathedral of the Sacred Heart in Winona, now almost 19 years ago, I returned to my hometown of Austin, Minnesota, where I grew up, in order to offer a mass of thanksgiving at my home parish of Queen of Angels. Queen of Angels was the parish where I was baptized and where I received my first Holy Communion and the Sacrament of Confirmation. It's where I attended Mass every Sunday morning with my family. It's where I served Mass on Sundays and many times before school during the week. It's where I served for almost every funeral Mass when I was in junior high school. Queen of Angels is where I attended Catholic grade school for 9 years, from kindergarten through eighth grade, and it's where I worked on the weekends. It's where I mowed the lawn and painted in the summer. So it was fitting that I should offer my first Mass at my home parish of Queen of Angels. I was ordained on a Tuesday. I had my first Mass of Thanksgiving on a Wednesday. And then for my very first weekend as a priest, I offered all the weekend Masses and preached the homily at my home parish. I had to preach my first sermon as a priest to my parents, to my family, to my Catholic grade school teachers who were all sitting in the front row with notebooks ready to take notes. I had to preach my first sermon to all of the parishioners who knew me as a little boy and who continue even to this day to call me by the diminutive form of my baptismal name. I remember getting up to the pulpit for my very first sermon, where I had read sacred scripture many times for grade school Masses. And I remember thinking of today's gospel, and all the eyes in the congregation looked intently at him. What was this hometown boy gonna say? So I hope you can see that I have a little tiny idea of what it might have been like for Jesus in today's gospel. After Jesus had been baptized by St. John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, Jesus was led by the same Holy Spirit into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. After his 40-day retreat in the desert, the power of the same Holy Spirit led him back to his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up. He went into the synagogue there in Nazareth, where Jesus and his parents went every Sabbath to pray and to hear the scriptures read aloud. They handed Jesus the scroll of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. He rolled it way down, almost to the end of the 66-chapter scroll, until he found what we know today as the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. And he read the first two verses. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." When he finished reading those first two verses of chapter 61, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. What was this hometown boy going to say? And after perhaps a moment of dramatic silence, Jesus preached his first sermon in his hometown synagogue. It's important to remember that Jesus is 30 years old when he preaches his first sermon. I was only 26. And what was his first sermon? "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." For 2,000 years, the people of Israel waited for that moment. And the people in the synagogue that Sabbath were the ones that God picked to hear those sweet words of Jesus' first sermon today. This scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. We'll see in next week's gospel how the hometown people react to our Lord's first sermon. But today, I would like to take a look at the passage that Jesus selected. He picked the passage from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 2, that makes reference to the Jewish Jubilee year to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. And all of the Jews in the synagogue that Sabbath would know what Isaiah is referring to. He's referring to the Jubilee year. In ancient Israel, a Jubilee year was celebrated every 50 years. And you can take a look at it. It's all laid out by God in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 25. During a Jewish Jubilee year, the land and the property had to be returned to its original family owner. The land itself had to lie fallow. They couldn't plant anything. Even the land had to rest and have a Sabbath. If you had slaves, God said you had to set them free. And during the Jubilee year, all debts were canceled. In today's language, we would say if you owed money to the bank or still had car or house payments in the Jubilee year, the balance statement would say zero, paid in full. Hopefully you can see that by reading this particular passage from Isaiah, Jesus is saying, now that I'm here, the real Jubilee year can begin. Jesus brings good news to the poor, to the oppressed, to the lowly, to the hungry, to the blind, to the sick. Just think about how many times Jesus heals people of their oppressions, of their blindness, of their leprosy. How many times Jesus feeds people in the Gospels. Jesus brings freedom to those held captives to sin. Just think about how many times he says to someone, your sins are forgiven. Isaiah says in his passage, he says, release to captives, release to those in captivity. And release, the Greek word aphesis, is the word that St. Luke consistently uses in his gospel to mean forgiveness of sins. Release from your sins. So, it's an understatement to say that Jesus picked the perfect passage. Jesus is saying, now that I'm here, the real Jubilee year acceptable to the Lord has arrived. Jesus says, I will release Israel from its captivity to sin and Satan. I will cancel their debt owed to God and give them back their original land that was promised to them, the land of paradise. Our Lord, you know, will pay the price for our sins with his precious blood on the cross. And our balance statement with God will read zero, paid in full. His death and resurrection brings us true freedom. Now, as many of you know, Pope Francis has given us an extraordinary Jubilee year of mercy. So right now, 2016 is a year acceptable to the Lord. Because it's a Jubilee year, today's scripture passage is fulfilled in our hearing. The Jubilee year is all about liberty and freedom and release from our debt to sin. So wouldn't it be great during this year of favor from the Lord if every family in our two parishes would commit themselves once again to coming to Sunday Mass like the Holy Family did. We learn today, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. Or like the assembly of men, women, and those children old enough to understand it in today's first reading, where they were moved to tears when they heard God's word. Wouldn't it be glorious during this year of favor from the Lord if every single person in our parishes would experience what the second graders are going to experience for the first time in 11 days from now, the unconditional love and mercy of God in the sacrament of penance. This is our modest goal during this Jubilee year, that every parishioner would come to Sunday Mass and every parishioner would make a good confession. Wouldn't it be glorious during this year of favor from the Lord if we would cancel a debt that we owe to a friend and to say, my friend, you don't owe me anything anymore. Your balance with me is zero. Wouldn't it be great if we could return the things we've borrowed from other people and give them back to their rightful owner? Oh yeah, I still have your book, your bowl, your tool. In this Jubilee year, we give it back. Wouldn't it be glorious if we could forgive and forget that family member who hurt us so deeply? You see, every time we do these things, today's scripture passage is fulfilled, and this Jubilee of mercy will truly be a year acceptable to the Lord.